So I also forgot to mention on the last foil that I define the so-called stationary method to be one where the matrix is the same at each iteration, and Gauss, Seidel, and Jacobi were stationary. It's relatively clear that effectively the iteration matrix is different at each step of Gauss, Seidel, because I'm dynamically choosing the step direction. So conjugate gradient is not a stationary method. Yes? Sorry? Well, the answer is that so that we have to now think what we're doing. When we discuss optimization is defined over any function f. It turns out it reduces, the way you do optimization is you do a Taylor expansion about your current guess, about which f then becomes quadratic, and you use effectively this method of the quadratic assumption, quadratic approximation. For the finite element method, the function f is rigorously quadratic, and therefore it will not go corrugated. Whereas a real function, you know, when I was doing these complicated optimizations of peculiar functions which had exponentials and logs and integrals and obscure things in it, they were certainly not quadratic, exactly. So your comment that conjugate gradient doesn't work in a ragged landscape is totally correct. You need to supplement conjugate gradient with some method to get near the minimum. So that's a long discussion which is non-trivial, but it is true that what you do when you do optimization is effectively, you know, in optimization the world consists of a bunch, you know, of lovely valleys. You know, this is sort of the Garden of Eden. So every now and then you have a bunch of valleys, and you have to find the right valley. Once you've got to the valley which has the Garden of Eden, then you use conjugate gradient to find the tree of truth or whatever you're looking for at the bottom of the garden. And of course, if you find the wrong valley, you'll find the devil or something that will gobble you up or something at the minimum. But the strategy in optimization then is to find a methodology for finding the right valley. Once you've found the right valley, then you use conjugate gradient or some comparable method. In the case of finite elements, the formula is rigorously quadratic. Therefore, you do not need this first step. All right. So conjugate gradient. Where are we? Do we say this? Yes. All right, so let's now discuss parallelism. And parallelism in conjugate gradient and parallelism in finite elements, which is rather mixed up in this discussion, are basically similar to everything we've done up to now, except a little more complicated. They have the same type of issues of locality, communication over computation, etc., but they're just not quite as elegant or simple as they are for finite difference. And we need to look at the parallelism in two parts of the problem. One is the problem of calculating the matrix elements, and the second is in solving the equations. Because in finite difference, the calculation of the matrix elements is itself trivially parallel, because when we do our standard geometric decomposition, each processor can calculate effectively the matrix elements trivially. It does not have to worry about calculating the matrix elements. In the case of finite elements, the matrix elements, comes from these triangles. The formally depend on the details of the triangles, but the calculus and the matrix elements requires communication and a little bit of thought, which is not present for finite difference. If we look at this formula, if we look at, say, back to the equation for the full conjugate gradient algorithm, we will see two types of things we have to do. One is so-called matrix vector products, A times R, A times P. So these are called matrix vector products. So the matrix is this matrix A, and the vector is one of these vectors defined at the nodal points. Because everything starts off defined, labeled by nodal points, so those are the here are called X, originally they were called P, so we have R and X and P all defined at the nodal points, and we have to multiply by the vector X. So what is Xij times Aij times Xj? Well, that's discussed actually a little later on, but it's effectively a local a nearest neighbor type computation. Because Aij is this sparse matrix, which is only non-zero when I and j are actually on the an edge of a triangle. So Aij xj is very similar to what we did in Jacobi iteration, which linked nearest neighbor points together. The other things we have to do are so-called scalar products, xj, yj, like this thing called beta of k is p of k minus 1 transposed, dotted into the matrix vector product A times R. So xj, yj runs over all j, and so it's going to be a so-called global sum. When people discuss conjugate gradient, they seem to sometimes be in terror of global sums. As far as I know, there is no reason to be in terror of global sums, because we saw those in, we effectively had these global parts of Jacobi iteration, because when we calculated the error condition, that was a global sum. We calculated the maximum value of the change all over the entire domain. That was effectively one of these collective global computations. And whether what you're calculating is a sum or a global maximum, it makes a little difference to the actual computational analysis. All right. So we go to the next file.